When I was around 3 or 4 years old, my parents decided to move us from West Baltimore out to Carroll County, a very small town in Carroll County. It was a shock, but it was a welcome shock. Now, school begins, and the first thing I notice is I don't look like these people. I don't sound like these people, and I felt different. You know, I am a black man, and 2% of the population in that county to this day is minority. At first, I tried to work through it. However, kids are cruel. For one, I had a stuttering problem. It was fueled by anxiety and everything else. So I was made fun of and I was picked on. But it was stressed in my household to read, to learn, and no one will ever be able to deny you. And as soon as my grades were great, I mean, I was a great student. I was always at the top. I won spelling bees and everything. I felt like I was part of something that I belonged to. So one could say that, like, at an early age, I was also searching for approval of others. What kid doesn't? However, throughout middle school and high school, that same need for approval had me doing things that I really didn't even care for. I went places with people that I didn't like or even want to be with. It was a constant need for approval. Peer pressure. The time I turned 15, I decided to start using drugs. I started to do heroin before I did anything else. I thought that a cool guy my age did drugs and drank. And this was 1995 when I graduated. There were 4 black people in my class, counting myself. What was happening was I was not black enough to be around them, but I was not white enough to be around the others. That's when I debuted selling the drugs, because at this point, my heroin habit had gotten insane. I had gone from $30-$40 bucks a week to now I'm close to $100 a day. No one knows what it's like to need to put $50 bucks in your body before you can brush your teeth. No one knows what that's like unless you've been through this. It's like waking up with the flu times 1,000. Every night, I'm not going to sleep. I'm laying down and resting my eyes for 3 hours. After homework, sports, social time, girlfriend, family time, getting right back up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm being picked up from a small town in Carroll County, Maryland, by older white men that would otherwise not talk to me at all, so we can go down and I can get them their fix, their money can get me mine, and I can be dropped back off to get on a school bus and go to school and perform, pass tests, give speeches, and act like nothing was wrong. One teacher my senior year spoke to me. She said, "You know, Eric, I know you've had some problems, and if there's something I could do to stop you, I would. Only you have the answer. Please let me know what I can do to help." And I looked her dead in her face, and I said, "There is nothing wrong with me. What can you tell a teenager, especially a teenager that feels like he or she is in charge? When you're not done, you're not done. And I was out to do harm to myself. I couldn't do enough drugs. I couldn't do enough drinking. Everything I did was just so far off the meter. It's not about the drug pulling you. It's about feeling that you have nothing to live for. You have no hope." So I began to seek the solution. I chose this self-help group. I could show up the way that I was. I could be who I was. And within reason, me keeping my story as my story, someone was going to relate and get something from me even on my worst day. It was about learning how to live again. All I knew was drugs, and that's not living. So in 08 or 09, I checked into a sober house situation. I put together 2 years clean, my first time getting clean. I put together 2 years clean, but I fell again and used. And in 2010, I overdosed for the first time. It was a combination of prescription meds that I was prescribed for anxiety, pain meds that I was prescribed for a broken collarbone, and a couple of beers. So that began my overdose history. Once you overdose once, you're pretty much in line to continue that path until you die. That's just what I know based on experience. Overdose again, two more times that year. At this point, we know how it goes. I do well, and then I do not. I continue the same behaviors, and I get the same results. I didn't have enough to live for to worry about dying. It was as if I always needed someone's approval to validate me wanting and needing to live. I was never good enough for me. And I believe that's what's different about this time around. And I'm never going to say, I got this, I'm okay, but I'm definitely all right. This time, I checked into a facility that was in April of 2017. I now work for a very prominent local hospital. My job is I link people with the help and the hope that they need to possibly seek treatment. Because I practice the principles, tolerance, patience, faith, perseverance, I managed to make a career out of my story, my life, and my experience. So this has taught me to look at myself and learn myself. And when someone's speaking, truly listen to learn. Because I don't always have an answer, but I do have an ear to listen. I'm Eric Whitaker, and this is my story.